Hello, everyone. This is Luca Mino again. We're trying different things, seeing how they work. It's one of those things. And this is the first of the year. Wow. We're getting pretty good at this stuff. We're back for another installment of Learn to Unlearn. And I've got everything going here. Got a strange amount of bass happening in my headphones for some very strange reason. Good, we got her loud and we're reading her and she has us loud and clear. There we go. Houston, here we come. Geez, it's good to be back. And I'm sitting here getting stuff ready. Okay, timer's on. All my stuff is here. We have the best producer in the whole wide world. How are you doing, Steve?
I made it here another day. What's the old saying? Another day, another downward quarter.
I haven't seen you since last year.
Right.
Huh? It's been a whole year. There's me sitting there, everybody else partying, and you know that it's just another day, and it's not going to be any different tomorrow morning, you know? Anyway, it's one of those. it's been hard for me because I've been by myself, and I'm learning. This is my quandary, as they say in the movies. This is my quandary. This is what I have to learn. The person who believes that a life by yourself is a life wasted, because, you know, humanity needs companionship. I think we can all agree. So it's really hard for me. And this is what my teaching is. It's obvious because that's, you know, Christmas was by myself and so was New Year's. And it's okay. We have no choice, but you know, we're going to be given what we work for. And this is what I'm really enjoying because we can talk about everything, on this network. And it's great to see everybody in the chat too. I didn't know that everybody was going to be back. That's wonderful. Boston Mark and Sarah and Melissa, you know, it's good to be back. So we're not going to waste anybody's time. It's romantic in a way because, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do all my life and I'm finally able to do it. And these shows are really helping to help me expand in the person that I'm becoming. And I'm learning every time. And it's actually thanks to you people that are accepting me the way I am. By the way, which is what a best friend should do. Isn't that cool? The best friend accepts the person exactly the way he is. With no well or if or buts or, you know, nothing like that. And what I love about this show also is that we're going to go a little bit everywhere. And rightly so, because we have to. We have to visit all kinds of stuff. Today we're going to do I started the show and I started to think to myself, maybe I shouldn't entertain everybody with all the things we're going to do today, because half the time we don't get through them all because we don't have time. So I would just like to tell you what I would like to talk about today. And if we don't have time, like we're going to do this show, we'll do it next week, right? Well, last week we didn't have time to hear clip two of Whitney Webb talking about, she's amazing. She was with Redacted, and that's on YouTube as well. And she was talking about what the WEF, the WEF, she calls it the WEF. It took me a few times to, she's talking about what the WEF is doing. And we have the second part of that. And Steve is such a wonderful character. Not only is he helping me how to learn how to read again through, you know, the writings and the stuff that I'm reading and the encouragement, but he's also sending me stuff all week long. Oh, look at it. Did you see this? You know, I already have stuff for the show. What are you doing? You know, he just sent me something today on Arabs and Jews. Okay. And this ties in exactly with my compartmentalization of issues and of subjects. Right. So everything's connected, you know, because I just happened to want to talk about indoctrination today. Same thing. Indoctrination is what? Education. It's history. It's false flags. It's Holocaust. It's marijuana. You know, marijuana is against law. How many times have you met somebody that said that, you know, oh, you smoke marijuana. Oh, my God, I don't believe you do that. You know, oh, geez, it's against the law, you know, or how horrible it is for you, you know, or something like that. When hemp was actually keeping the USA at that time among some of the healthiest nations on the planet, because hemp was in everything. And that's Rockefeller that was responsible for taking all that away. See, so everything's connected in some way. I wanted to start with a reflection by Nikola Tesla today. And I know we'll have time for this, because I want to talk about nature again and nature's wrath, Mother Nature's wrath, and the teachings of the North, it's called, that most people don't have, you know, a way to get a hold of. I do, because I've been studying this stuff for a long time, and that ties in with the Hopi prophecy as well. It's really interesting stuff. And you know what it is? You know what the answer is? It's a two-word phrase. Our choice. That's all it is. It's our choice. We have the choice to change our life overnight. We have a choice to be good or, okay, to serve evil or to serve good every day when we get up and we put our feet on the floor. So it's up to us. We're the ones that are going to be able to help the world become what it's supposed to. That's what I'm trying to do in my little world, my little corner, you know. And Leo Buscaglia, one of my first mentors, that's what he said from the beginning. You know, it's a glorious, magical, personal choice to either let go of trauma or live it, you know? And this is why I'm in so much doo-doo right now with family or with, you know, no friends anymore, hardly, because trauma goes through generations. I think it's been proven. Trauma literally goes through generations of family, whatever, until what? Until one person says, no, no more. Whoa, buck stops here. Sorry. And see, this is what I'm doing in my health now, in my new life, literally, since my cancers were taken out. And I can see a lot clearer than I could see before. Well, here I go. You know, Luca, what's your objective? Well, to help and heal people, to tell the truth as much as I can. What my disclaimer says, right? And the trauma stops here. So it's like, no, Hitler did not kill 6 million people. I'm sorry. No, there's no global warming. No, I'm sorry. Okay. No, I'm not buying it. So everything that comes around my table or my door, I have to speak on. Listening without question, I beg your pardon? No, question everything. You know, oh, you have to be loyal and you have to protect the status quo, and you have to be a good citizen. See, this is what's coming now. I know this is what's coming. And we're going to talk about that too, if we can. But first, Nikola Tesla says something really cool, and I don't mind saying it. I didn't know about this until not too long ago. He says, a new world must be born. A world that would justify the sacrifices offered by humanity. He says, this new world must be a world in which there shall be no exploitation of the weak by the strong, no exploitation of the good over evil, where there shall be no humiliation of the poor by the violence of the rich, where the products of intelligence, science, and art will serve society for the betterment and the beautification of life and not individuals for achieving wealth. Right. I could say that echoes a thought of somebody that I know, and his name starts with H. Okay. That's what he was doing. That's why he was stopped dead in his tracks. No, you don't start a new economic system so that the people can actually, you know, grow and evolve. No, sorry. See, this is where everything happened. This is where all the good leaders were stopped. Where all the good people, like, you know, JFK, like, you know, everybody's crooked in some way. But, you know, this is what I'm noticing in every single compartment that I visit every day. If it's not indoctrination about lies, it's the history is starting to be changed. See, today we're going to talk about Custer. 8 out of 10 people, I dare say, don't know the real story about Custer. Yeah, the 7th Cavalry was murdered. Oh, really? Try again. Okay. So this is my quest. This is what I want to do. And I want to get together with people that feel the same way, that want to know what the truth is to the best of my ability. And I have some really interesting stuff to share today. So why don't we get going? There are some say that history is doomed to be repeated if we don't learn from it, right? I say something else. I say that history was done deliberately to be repeated every time so that they would get it better and get it better and get it better every time and learn to be more efficient at their craft of genocide as the years and the decades go by and the centuries too, right? I remember that towel-headed Ichba in the 1700s that would say that, you know, if my sons didn't want wars, there would be none. I've said this before on the show, and I'm going to be repeating myself all the time. Well, see, we could go into the native segment first. I think we could, because it has to do a lot with what humanity is up to right now. So, yeah, why don't we do that? John Trudell. Okay. He says, we live in a technological society that creates many illusions of reality. It's the most irresponsible behaving entity that ever lived on this planet. This civilization is not about responsibility. It's about guilt. It's about sin, about blame, and aggressive bad behavior. See, because he can tell the difference. He's coming from Native America, which is not at all the same. It's polar opposite of what we are, believe it or not. Back to the quote, he says, that is the shadow world. The guilt, the sin, the blame, the aggressive bad behavior. That's the shadow world. The real world is about fulfilling our responsibility to life, to each other. You know, everything's backwards, see? And because we're not taught about this in school, the other side, okay, we only live one side of the coin. We learn not to question. We learn to say, oh, okay, I didn't know that. I'll be afraid of the forest for the rest of my life. Oh, my God, did you hear what happened to me the other day? Right? Afraid of the forest, afraid of each other, afraid of love. Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll be afraid of everything, okay? So they can ransack us a lot faster. See, people are waking up. No, I believe that God is actually saying no. It won't be that easy. We're going to do something different. We're going to split humanity into two groups. This is what I think. And, you know, there's a meme that comes on Facebook right in my lap again that just proves it. Or maybe it doesn't prove it. It just makes it even more obvious that that's what I think. Humanity is being split into two groups. A, those who accept the propaganda and that want to be controlled, whether they like to admit it or not. And B, those who see through the propaganda, that know what's going on, and that want to be free. Question is, which one are you? There's no more sitting on the fence anymore. So, no, because, you know, how many more people are going to lose their lives, like, you know, spend their whole lives not even knowing about this gift that we're supposed to have, and then all of a sudden you wake up your life turns into one big regret because you didn't wake up earlier, or because, you know, even me at 65 or so right now, but that's different for me because I'm just bouncing back from an operation. I feel like I'm 35, but I do regret some of the things I've done, as most of us do. And I wish I would have known what I know now, but that's irrelevant because, you know, that's, you know, it's irrelevant. There's no other word for it. So don't regret anything. Just, I guess we should just take advantage of every second that we have and give it to one another, because that's what, you know, there it is again, right? The Indian looking at the guy from New York City or the woman from New York City, and he's troubled. And he says, you know, I've said this before, but please allow me to say it again. You know, New York City, You know, a lot of people with too much, and a lot of people with not enough. Your society, you value your own on how much you have, on your materialistic wealth, you know? Us, the Indian, on how much we give away. See? Because the less you have, the lighter you are, the more spiritual you become, because you have nothing. You learn to be the happiest person with nothing. Okay? That's why I always love saying every now and then, practice losing what you love the most. Because at one time, this materialistic stuff here, once they start regulating the internet, like we're going to hear from Whitney Webb this hour. yeah. Steve, I actually found out what she thinks. And this is about pretty what? Interesting. Because they can do a false flag, right? They can blame it on anybody. They have the fingerprints to blame it on any country they want. It could be North Korea. It could be China. It could be Russia.
They have the capability. They have the capability of doing that, too.
So, according to Whitney Webb, what you're going to hear, she thinks that there's going to be a false flag. They're going to declare a false flag. They're going to say somebody else did a cyber attack, okay? There's going to be either a loss of electricity or internet or both for them to ring in the new digital system. And depending on how long it takes, that's how long the blackout is going to be. Then when the lights come back on, it's going to be, oh, I'm sorry, your name is going to be tied to a digital ID. From now on, this is going to happen. Completely different. That's their excuse to do this. Plus, they can blame it on another country. They're raking in millions, if not billions, on the war right now. Every country that's involved in it, in the war, that they're pushing. It's so obvious, right? Oh, Iran. Oh, Libya. Oh, Russia. Oh, yeah, you know? Oh, China, you know? Everybody's getting rich on this. And everybody's just letting it happen in America. We're just sitting here going, oh, okay, another war. Oh, okay. Well, see, so what I'd rather do is to stay on the other side of the coin and talk about spirituality and talk about what happens when you do bad, okay, when you do really bad. So I'm going to shift out of that gear because I don't want to go there yet. What I'd rather do is talk about the women, okay? And this is such a good story. The women warriors. Oh, there weren't any women warriors, Luca. Oh, there weren't any women warriors. I have a story to tell you. Many warrior Native American women fought alongside the men. And one of the most famous was probably Buffalo Calf Road Woman, R-O-A-D, Buffalo Calf Road Woman. A member of the Northern Cheyenne tribe who fought in the Battle of the Rosebud and the Battle of the Little Bighorn. Beautiful, beautiful woman. And she, in fact, according to the elders of the Northern Cheyenne tribe, she's the one who dealt Custer his final deadly blow. And they washed their hands of it. And I want to tell the story because it was just on the 29th. It's kind of important. It's kind of essential that we know stuff like this because this is truth that is withheld, see? And this is from the elders, so I know it's true because you can feel it. Buffalo Calf Road Woman is just one of many incredible women that you don't hear about in your history class. Okay, Custer, here we go. I want to speak on this also because we heard different version of events, different versions, okay? Nobody really knew what happened. And I found this out from a family source. This is from my brother from another mother, okay, who knows elders and who talks about this all the time. And this is what, you know, let me paraphrase. And you'll be proud if you are, hopefully you are, you will be, to know what the real story is. You can come up to somebody else and go, no, you want to hear the real story? Sit down, son, okay? For the harm he had done, that could never be undone. They mounted him on his horse. Okay, this is when all the others were slaughtered. He was expressly not killed. They don't want his blood on their hands, right? Listen to this. They mounted him on his horse. The grandmothers jabbed and pierced his eyes for what he had done and for the children and what the children had to witness. They jabbed and pierced his ears so that he may never be able to hear the silence of the hills that he so disturbed and turned red of blood. And they put his own revolver in his two hands as if to say, we wash our hands of you. And they slapped the horse in the rear quarters and off he went. And he was to do the rest himself. That's what karma is. That is my best example of what karma is. Okay. And that's all I have to say on Custer, because that's, you know, that's the way it is. It's, you know, you will get back what you do in life. You love your woman. You love your man. It's a reward that comes back. You know, I'm thinking of her and I'm in the store and I see one of her favorite desserts and it's really good for you too. So I buy it and I'm bringing it home. And meanwhile, she's thinking in the kitchen, oh, he's going, you know, to the store for us. Geez, I think I'm going to make his favorite meal for him, you know. That's what we're supposed to be living right now. Instead of, oh man, did she pay that money on the bill again? You know, oh, she's going to get it when she got. Okay. Everybody's fighting. Nobody is thinking anymore. It's all on automatic autopilot. You know, whatever government wants us to do. Yeah. Sit at home, be lazy. We'll pay you to stay lazy. Don't do anything for anybody else. Just call out everybody else on what everybody else is doing. Don't think about. It's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. And it's such a blessing to know that. And staying on the Native American track, okay, I saw a picture of Mount Rushmore. And it's like, tell us what you think. So I have to say this on this show because I did say to them, graffiti! On my Shake and Wake radio network shows, I explain this as a psyop. It's a psychological operation is what it is. Daily psychological torture to the Indian to forever let him know and remind him, A, who ruined his most sacred mountain, and B, who's boss. That's what they're doing, you know. And we're amazed that America is going through what America is going through right now. See, and there's this morality versus obedience thing too that I really wanted to focus on today because it's all tied in with indoctrination. You know, morality, as we've said before on this show, morality is doing what's right regardless of what you're told. Obedience is, well, hey, the paycheck is good, you know, doing what you're told, regardless of what's right. You don't have to think about what's right because you're getting paid so good to do it. Doesn't matter. Huh. And, you know, I think it's going to be next week that you're going to hear from somebody actually say that the elite or the cabal have bought off and bought everybody that they can to do their bidding. 9 people out of 10, if they get money thrown at them, you know what they're going to do. Money corrupts. Big money corrupts in a big way, right? See, so we're all taught from birth, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but I don't think I am. We're taught from birth to obey. But there's, you know, because there's always morality that comes into play afterwards, you know, and you're watching everybody around you wanted to be obedient. And it's like, no. So we've been trained like that through schooling, through the job. So when the time comes, we won't even know what morality is compared with, you know, doing, you know, what we should be doing rather than something, because we haven't been taught. We don't. It's exactly the same thing as the Jews versus the Arabs that, Steve was showing me another incredible video or, I guess, audio that we'll be sharing. If it makes any sense audio-wise, I'll figure that out within the week. But it's amazing. Like Arabs, you know, and Jews, right? It's like, you know, one doesn't think the other one is human. You know, oh, they're not intelligent. They're just beasts. They're just animals. They're what? You know, an Israeli talking to a Palestinian. It's like, no, well, you're amazing. You can't be Palestinian because all Palestinians are stupid. They're animals. And you're like, you know, see, this is exactly the same thing. I spent 20 years learning the truth on Adolf Hitler and Germany and what the closest to the truth I can get is. Okay. And it's exactly the same thing. No, Luca, Hitler killed 6 million people. Sorry. And they don't want to discuss it. It's the same thing. You know, no, Palestinians are just dirt. No, they're scum. They're termites. Actually, Netanyahu actually told my best friend, because he met him, that they were rats. And he compared them to a rat's nest and how to get rid of the rat's nest. Well, now we can eradicate them. Now we can exterminate them. Okay? See, so how do you get people to do that? How do you train people to eradicate another human being? Jeez, I got rid of my own firearms because I don't want to kill people. I don't want to even injure them. I don't want that on my conscience. We talked about what soldiers kill themselves and their own lives for, 26 or more per day, because they were in the military, because they saw what the unseeable, you know, the unforgivable, okay? Taking another life. It goes against what everything you stand for as a human being should be. And that's what the military trains you to do. Figure it out. Okay? That's where the big issue is, I think. That's why the world is split into two, you know? Morality? No. I have too much integrity to go along with that. No, absolutely not. Or, wow, geez, sweetheart, we need the money, you know? Come on, you know? Wow, wouldn't that be cool? We get to go here. We get to do this. We get to buy a car. We get to buy a new TV. Oh, you know, that's where the problem is. Big sign right on my timeline. Luca, drag queen show in Toronto for New Year's celebration. What do you think? Uh-oh. Time to lose more friends on Facebook. That should be another song. Well, before the break, this is what I said right under the timeline, right under the, you know, in the comment. My answer, depending on if you want to contribute to the imbalance in society and help the Cabal institute their protocols of Zion, in which confusing the sexes and replacing education with filth and perversion seem foremost, that the pride fad, you know, is like, oh, give me a break, right? Wow. Welcome to the degradation of society and degenerate morals, as George Patton had predicted in 1945. Remember that? I think I know it by heart by now. I fear that in 50 years, America will become a land of corruption and degenerate morals. I remembered it by heart. There you go. Pretty cool, eh? See? So when we come back, we're going to get into similarities. Since I'm already going on this, I'm just going on my wings. I'm flying on the wind. I'm not even looking at my notes because this. I want to talk to you from the heart. This is what we have to do. Start the year off in a good way. There's a lot about the indigenous on Turtle Island, which we call North America now. Think of the indigenous on North America. Think of Hawaii and what just happened. And think of the Palestinians. Right. This is what this is. First of all, it fits their depopulation plan, right? Second of all, you know, it's, remember when we did the Hawaii segment, and I feel like playing it over again, but I don't have to. Remember when she said, one of the Trask girls had said that Hawaii's a prostitute. You know, she's a woman. She's gorgeous, you know. The highest bidder gets her for the longest amount of time. Though you have more money, you pay more, you get her for longer, right? And who's the pimp? The state of Hawaii. See? Why? Because Hawaii was stolen. Hawaii is American by theft. Hello, 1890. It has America written all over it, so it has nothing to say. So Israel even had something to do indirectly or directly, I'm not sure yet, with the DEW thing in Hawaii. Japan is all over that, you know? There's the state of Hawaii going around worldwide going, hey, come pay, you know? Come and pay us. We give you, you know, private beach? No, we turn it into, private beach if it's public. Doesn't matter. You know, never mind the regulations on height of buildings. Never mind, you know, this is what's going on right now. See? So Palestine is no different. I have a picture here of what they came out with. I don't know how I was able to get it, but I'm showing it to Steve right now about what, you know, the Gaza Strip is going to look like. You know, Harai Zahev, which means Golden Mountains, a settlement development enterprise, is advertising for Gaza settlements. A house on the beach is not a dream. We have begun clearing rubble and fending off squatters. Okay? This is what they're talking about. This is all this is. It's clearing out. It's, you know, helping people with money get more money from the people that have all kinds of money. Okay, there you go again. There's bribery starting up, right? It's always the same thing. This is why they keep saying there's nothing new under the sun. But as Steve is going to tell me, we have to go to the break. So we will be right back, and I'm going to wet my whistle. And I'm not going to bombard this too loud again, so I have to watch the volume. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
There it is. We're back. Luca, you're not muted, right? No, you're not muted. Okay, everything's fine. We're back. And we are back on Learn to Unlearn on Shake and Wake Radio. And we're the first of the year. We're talking about my idea of the indigenous, what's happening in Palestine and also Hawaii. And I wrote something that I'd like to share with you because it teaches me how to read once again. Okay. Besides it being about the genocide of the indigenous people, it's all about power, the ultimate aphrodisiac. And that's true. As expensive to whoever stands in the way, I guess. Okay. Netanyahu was once quoted as saying Palestinians are like rats. I just said that. I don't have to say it again. That's what we're doing with Palestine. Besides it being about the genocide of the indigenous people, and they can do that because Hawaii itself was stolen. Okay. And I kid you not, the USS Boston arrives, deposes and arrests the Queen, and that's it. Now we can put United States of America all over the map. See? So they can do that because it's stolen. It's too important to go by, to, you know, without mentioning. You know why? Because you allowed me at one point to speak about Sylvia Stoltz, who was a German lawyer and who was fortunate enough or misfortunate enough to have a client by the name of Ernst Zundel. Okay. And Ernst Dundel is what they call a Holocaust denier and all this stuff. And it's a no-no. And, you know, we can't have that. And he was brought to court. Okay. So he had a really good lawyer with him. Okay. Sylvia Stoltz. You can look it up. And don't I find something about Ernst Dundel all of a sudden? While he was talking to an Israeli reporter out of all the reporters he could speak to, I'd like to read what he said. And you'll hear it from him. And I'll try to put my German accent in there if you'd like. This is a quote from him. No, and I'm going to interject every now and then, but I'll let you know. Nobody has ever analyzed why the German nation that had more Nobel Prize winners, more famous researchers and scientists, and one of the best educated countries in Europe turned on the Jews. Why did these good Germans turn on the Jews, who had more Jews living amongst them at the time, even percentage-wise, than live in the United States today? Why was that? When here, this is his answer. He says, because they displayed, hold on to this one, the same voracious ethnocentrism, power-grabbing, influence-peddling, buying of politicians, dominating the public airwaves and the public media in Germany and so on that they displayed in the United States. He says, I'm not much of a prophet, but I can say this based on history. In the United States, mark my words, you will have Weimar conditions, and you'll also have solutions to the Weimar conditions. Won't they be Weimar solutions, eh? You get it? Problem, reaction, solution? Let me say that again. He says you will have Weimar conditions. You will also have Weimar solutions. Okay? Think about it. That's scary stuff. He continues. If you look at East Germany and how quickly it collapsed, or the former Soviet Union, how quickly it collapsed with all of its secret services, spy agencies, NKVD and Stasi's, it imploded so quickly. He has no idea. But he continues, there is no doubt in my mind that the United States is heading in the same direction with only one difference. In the United States, there's enough guns on the street and enough lawlessness in the public, and the revolutionary spirit that founded that republic. The United States is armed to the teeth, and they have the spirit of revolution in their blood, and they are heroes. That was a quote from him. I can't disagree. You know, yes, we are all in tune with the spirit that, you know, the good spirit, if there was one, that founded this country. Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, it started and ended, if I don't mind saying, with, what's his name? Ben Franklin, that goes to the Iroquois and that notices how the Iroquois have a system of two laws, that the laws have to go through two houses, I'm sorry, and, you know, the grandmothers are the ones that decide. Council of grandmothers, it's the most beautiful thing you can think of. Your grandmother deciding, right? Like women of age, of experience, of wisdom that were chosen by the people, okay? So he's writing all this down. Within 22 years, yes, the first United States were formed on that model. But you think a Freemason is going to allow women in such positions? Allow women in such positions? Hell no. I don't think so. No, women have their place in the kitchen and in the bed, if you don't remember. I can show you, I can produce a 1960 manual for women in the home and how they should act when the man comes home. Okay, this is what I mean. It was a matriarchal society. Okay, sure, he was amazed and he was stunned and he was beautified and he was blown away and all that. Okay, and he's sitting there and there's a picture of him, a picture, like a drawing of him writing in his book, you know, with his attendee standing behind him. But, you know, that didn't last long because they don't understand. They're polar opposite. So they're the world of men, see? Very interesting stuff for me anyway. So coming back to what I was talking about, 93-year-old woman, Ursula Havelbeck. Remember her? She's sent to prison. You know what she said? The truth needs no laws. The official Holocaust narrative simply is not true. Therefore, it is being used to enslave and manipulate humanity, especially the German nation. Okay, that's why nobody's allowed to talk about it. It's very obvious. See, you listen to David Irving. You listen to countless quotes of so many people. And you start putting them together. It's like all the stuff that you're not supposed to hear, that they don't want you to talk about or even know. Well, Steve, I'm going to blow another tire on the car today because I found out something else and I can't find the picture. It's too bad. So I'm going to have to read it from what I have here. And this is something else that puts the nail in the coffin. If anybody wants to know closer to the truth, if you didn't know this, and I tip of the hat to you if you did. In 1933, the Daily Express ran the headline. Oh, actually, I'll start from the beginning. Sorry. During World War I, Jews declared Germany had gas chambers. This was an exposed fabrication for atrocity propaganda. Okay. In 1933, the Daily Express ran the headline, Judea declares war on Germany. The Jew media and later the Jew-controlled OSS began the same atrocity propaganda campaign as they did in World War I, this time using the Jew Hollywood director Billy Wilder to fabricate and direct post-war atrocity propaganda to fabricate the gas chamber lie. I'll be saying this till I die because, well, Luca, you weren't there. No, I'm not. I wasn't there. Of course not. See, this is the argument. You can't say that. How dare you? Are you trying to say that, you know, there's a never-ending line of questions like that. You know, the slander, Luca, oh, my God, you know. I'm just observing. I'm asking questions. It's fun to ask questions that you're not supposed to ask. I didn't know that. I didn't know about that name either. Billy Wilder. He was supposed to fabricate, direct, and post-war atrocity on and propaganda. See, now that makes sense about the 1944 letter that said that, you know, we have to do something about Russia's crimes and the Holodomor. Can someone do something about that? And we have to invent some kind of distraction, okay, some kind of propaganda. This falls right into that. See what I mean? And if you're good at propagandizing, you can say, oh, that goes in that box. Oh, that goes over here. Oh, that goes over here. And this is what we're doing. This is what's so fabulous about being on the airwaves, because when people are interested, it's so good. Because, you know, you can't – okay, for example, in Europe, if you start talking like this in certain countries, they'll come and arrest you. And that's it. End of story. We'll be right back so I can wet my whistle again. Well, I want to say thank you again for everybody listening, for everybody hanging on. This is so much fun doing shows like this. I'm having the time of my life. I told Steve right before we went on, I said, you know what? I could do this every day. This is so cool. You know, it'd be great to get paid for it too someday. You know what? Wow. But this is the feel of it, you know, just to be able to share. Anybody see the following points as interrelated? Fiat currency, false money. Credit cards, false purchase. Shopping, false happiness. Brand names, false identity. Video games, false activities. TV and movies, false experiences. News media, false information. Celebrities, false idols. Dating apps, false relationships, porn and sex, false intimacy, processed food, false food, right? Alcohol, false confidence. Oh, you got that right. Well, that gets me under the table real quick. But Big Pharma, false medicine, because it's not medicine. Woohoo! Education system, false knowledge, brainwashing. There's the word indoctrination. Okay, indoctrination. This is what they're doing. And this is what the cabal wants. They have us trapped in a fake system, right, which we call the illusion. I think I've called that before, what John Trudell said in the beginning. We've been enslaved without realizing it. We have to realign ourselves to positive and divine forces in order to cancel out the effects of the satanic forces. See what I mean? If you're not aware of it, you don't know what to do. Oh, you have to be aware of it, and then you have to learn what to do. Be strong enough to be able to know what to do about it. Huh. We have a lot of inner work to do to change our inner world and support positivity in the outer world. It all begins within, Luca. Surrender to God first, right? What was that? What do I love saying all the time? The only way out is in. You know? Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean work on myself? You know? What's that going to do to everybody else? What good is that going to do to everybody else? Work on yourself, Luca. And then what happens magically is that when you're ready and you have things figured out pretty much, or when you're ready to learn, go to the next step of learning, because you'll never know it all, right? Then people will come to you. It's that simple. And they do. They already started to do that. They've already started to, you know, why am I invited to do things that I was never invited to do before? How come I have a show now that I have never had before? You know, it's wonderful to see that. And it's all about, you know, everybody's at different stages. Everybody's at different levels. And I guess when you break the morality and what was it? Morality and obedience thing. See, Mark Passio really gave me a couple of good knocks in the head about his, you know, the way he talks. And then, okay, you know, okay, take that with a grain of salt. And then you go and listen to somebody else. And you take that with a grain of salt. You know, okay, well, ooh. And this is how you put your own world together. And this is what I was able to do. So with Whitney Webb, okay, talking about a minute here, you're not even going to have enough time to play Whitney Webb, Luca. Last week, we heard about suddenly under the guise of the WEF, Russia is now working with the USA Inc. Didn't we blame Russia a couple of years ago about something or other? Now, under the guise of the WEF, she says the WEF, they're working with the USA Inc. I have to say it again. And it's seen, the WEF is seen collaborating with intel agencies in the USA Inc. And she shares a lot of stuff about that. The cyber attack coming up, problem, reaction, solution. Well, I can really be honest, too, on that, Annie, because Mark Passio, he taught me a lot. If he's a tool, I'm glad he was, because now I don't listen to him anymore. I just take what I learned from him and put it in my bag of goodies. And if I don't say his name, it would be just as powerful as anything else, because it's the guy, we know what he comes off as. But again, I always say that, and my first teacher in spirituality told me it's so important. It doesn't matter if you don't like the person. It's what he says. If it resonates, keep it, because it's important to you. It's necessary to you. So in clip two, Whitney Webb is going to be more precise about what's going to happen, and she lays out some stuff that really, really, that really makes a lot of sense. And Annie, I didn't know he treated you badly. I'm sorry to hear that. And that's good to know, because I'm going to find out about it. And, you know, hey, see, karma always comes back. It's true. Karma will always come back. And that's why ever since I started being so attentive to what I do, to what I say to people, to how I act to people, to just acting, living in general, and not lying and being as straight and as honest as you can be, then you know the problem is not you. It will never be. So in clip two, she's going to talk about regulated internet. And U.S. Secret Service, FBI, Department of Justice with the big banks. I'll have you listen to it yourself. And hopefully you can tell me what you think next week or even in the chat if we can.
This group specifically has a lot of solutions aside from, you know, things with the banking system that they cannot really justify implementing unless there is some sort of large cyber attack. So what does the WEF Partnership Against Cybercrime want? They're very open that they want a regulated internet, and they're essentially seeking a policy that was efforts were made to implement during the Obama administration in the U.S. They called it a driver's license for the internet. So essentially what this public-private partnership at the WEF is pushing for is for every person's access to the internet to be tied to a digital ID or a government-issued ID, but presumably a digital ID just because of where government-issued ID programs are all going essentially around the world. And the goal of that, of course, if you're ID is linked to your internet access. Intelligence agencies know exactly what media you are consuming in terms of, you know, what you read and also what you post online. And that has been the goal for a very, very long time. So people aren't necessarily going to consent to that unless they are made to believe that anonymity and privacy online are dangerous. So, how exactly can you convince people that that needs to happen? Well, you have some sort of event where anonymous hackers do something online that causes major disruption globally, and then the consent can be manufactured through fear and panic, as is often done, that anonymity and privacy needs to be eliminated, that we need to know exactly who is doing what online to prevent a calamity of that scale from ever happening again. And this is the exact solution that these guys have been cooking for a very long time. And the intelligence agencies involved are Israeli intelligence, British intelligence, and then the U.S. Secret Service, FBI, and Department of Justice. And you have several of the biggest banks in the country, like Bank of America, involved directly with this group, as well as major U.S. tech companies like Microsoft and Amazon partnered with all of this. And this is exactly what they're seeking, and they have all the tools to allow something like this to happen. And when you have the fact that some of these actors want a war where the U.S., for example, goes to war with Iran, among other things, and they have the ability to attribute, you know, cyber attacks of any scale to any entity at all. And this is a big problem because when these alleged hacks take place, whether it's blamed on Russia, Iran, or China, the headline will blame these countries. But if you actually read the article itself, they don't actually have the evidence to make that case. They say, we believe it's this country or that it's a group affiliated with this country. Mm-hmm. And their reasoning ranges from, you know, they'll say things like, we have medium probability that it's, you know, they're tied to Iran. And, you know, all these, you know, phrases that show that they don't actually have evidence. And then there's an effort to manufacture consent potentially for military action based on all of this stuff. So it's definitely very alarming and people should be paying attention.
Right. See what I mean? It's I'm glad we have a good reaction to her in the chat. Very glad to hear, because we don't want to be like this man here. Oh no, are we going to sing this again? Oh no, maybe I should find another verse myself.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to hear it in your pod. You know nothing. And be happy.
You think? I don't think. I had to do that because I had to bring my grandmother's accent out again. So we heard clip two of Whitney Webb. I'm glad people like her. I'm glad that was well received. And, you know, this is where we're at. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share with you something called the spiritual significance of the North. And this is something that most people would have a hard time finding. This is information that is not, it's hidden from us for such a good reason. In the 1700s, let's say, or the 1800s, it's more viral back then, more aggressive, more vile towards the 1800s. It's so hard to explain. The colonialists, okay, face to face with the native. They've never met each other before. They don't know a thing about each other. Washington even said that the fox or the Indian, although they vary in shape, they're both beasts of the forest. Okay? They were convinced that these were not human. Well, of course, you know, the men in 1492, I think Columbus's men didn't have any problem figuring out that these were young women when they arrived. Right. Okay. The people are half naked and no arms. You know what I'm saying? We have to understand that the direction we're going is towards death. And I don't know how many times the Hopi have said that, from Prophecy Rock to what I've read to you about Let Go of the Shore. This is called The Significance of the North. It's too awesome. Put yourself around a fire with me and hear me out. The old men tell us that the North is the direction that heals all of Mother Earth. It's the master direction that controls all of the others. In the winter, the North restores the beauty of the mother and her children, healing the plant life, animals, and people with its blanket of snow. In the summer, the North rains, bringing the healing medicine to refresh all of nature. The albino animals of the North represent purification and healing. The polar bear, greatest of all medicine bears, guides his brothers in all of their healings. The more Mother Earth sickens, the more severe the healing will come to the North. The more severe the healing will come from the North. Yeah, that is what I read. It will show its spiritual power to mankind through what is called act of God. Okay? It will identify itself, its voice, and its wind, and its anger. It will defend the mother. The legacy of 300 years of oppression has demoralized us, because our culture became illegal at the beginning of the 20th century. The sharing of our knowledge was prohibited. The children in schools were forbidden to learn or speak the language. People forgot about the four principles of life. And most importantly, they forgot how to share. The whole world is out of balance now because everyone wants a part of the sharing. Everybody wants to control the sharing. This is what has brought about sickness. See, so this is only one person from one direction saying that. I come from the East. I come from what is the white race, which are the Europeans, the East. That's where I come from. See, and every tribe, in every tribe, the colors are different. Some will have North as black. Some will have North as red. You know, I have my colors, and nobody's going to tell me that what I think is wrong. Nobody should tell anybody what they think is wrong. Everybody has the right and should be encouraged to believe what they believe. And we should all love each other, right? But that would be too easy, wouldn't it? So I hope you like my ranting. I'm not going to raise my voice and yell. But I don't want to talk politics. I really don't. And I think we're doing pretty good with the spiritual point of view and where we're going with what we're doing. I covered just about everything I wanted to cover, and I was blabbering a lot of the time, Steve, was I not? You managed to stay quiet again.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
I want to talk with you and bring you in on the show next week when we talk about the Arab and the Jew again. Not necessarily A or J, not necessarily N, not, you know, because we divide when we talk like that, but we have to understand what the division is all about, right? I think.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yes, you do.
Yes. So thank you so much for being such a good producer. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with me for another hour. And thank you, Annie, for being the matriarch. Love you all, and I'm going to play my music again, and I'll play it the whole way through if I can. And we'll see you next week. Be safe, everyone. Creator willing, we'll see you next week.